The following essay was originally aired in 2004. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, November 28th, 10:45 a.m. Central Coast Range, South Fork of the Alsea River. Driving to an elevation of several hundred feet up a windy mountain road has put me comfortably above the frigid ocean of fog that smothers the valley floor. Here, near the crest of the Coast Range, brilliant, piercing sunshine illuminates the still freezing, sparkling atmosphere. Filtered by its journey over thousands of miles across the northern Pacific, the incoming marine air is deliciously pure. The South Fork of the Alsea is gently returning the favor. It is 10 yards across, composed and flowing briskly. The muffled roar of the falls below provides a barely audible backdrop. Ahead on the trail, a hermit thrush confidently lifts a frosted alder leaf from the ground with its beak, searching for frozen insects beneath. It flies to a low branch and stares, flicking its wings nervously and slowly raising and lowering its tail. This hardy brown-backed thrush regularly winters on the Pacific Northwest coast. The Alsea, whose name survives with this river, were part of a small linguistic group of people that lived on the central coast between the Yaquina and Umpqua rivers. They were wealthy in the local currency, Dentalia shells. They hunted seals and held slaves. In the late 18th century, they numbered about 5,000 and almost certainly came into contact with European trading vessels. Decaying leaves of alders and maples cover the shoreline path. Sunshine can now reach large areas of the forest floor. In the canopy, the shaded boughs of Douglas fir retain their frosty coating. As the frozen dew melts, a continuous gentle rain falls on the understory, scattering the abundant sunlight through countless tiny prisms. The persistent leathery fronds of sword ferns spring up and down, rebounding from the weight of larger falling droplets. While deciduous trees respond to the arrival of winter by lying dormant, conifers gain a tremendous advantage by continuing to photosynthesize. Up to 50% of their annual growth occurs between October and April. While the bowl-shaped crowns of deciduous trees capitalize on abundant, direct summer sunlight, the long, conical crowns of the conifers maximize the absorption of the oblique, reflected light that is common in the winter. Salmon-colored coral fungi sprout abundantly through decaying leaves and needles. Their finger-like fruiting bodies are frozen to the touch. Throughout the forest, the passage of water and nutrients from soil to roots hinges on a crucial interaction between trees and certain kinds of fungi. Underground fungal strands wrap tightly around the thin, absorbent ends of plant roots. Some kinds of fungi actually grow inside the root cells. This association benefits both the trees and the fungus in several ways. In many cases, neither could survive without the other. Lining the river are enormous decaying stumps, artifacts of the days when logging was done with horses, springboards, and crosscut saws. Young trees have replaced the big forest that once covered the Alsea watershed. The complex habitat of braided channels, streams dotted with deep pools, entangled with large wood, has been drastically altered, seriously affecting the once bountiful populations of salmon and trout in the Forest River system. Further down the trail, the river collapses abruptly, creating a precipitous, torrential waterfall that eventually makes its way down slick, eroded rocks to a deep pool about 50 yards below. A large, moss-covered boulder lies stranded on a level spot just below the falls, awaiting the day when a massive winter storm will carry it downstream toward the Pacific. A winter visit to any of the jetties along the Oregon coast will provide the wildlife watcher with opportunities to see a variety of seagoing ducks and water birds. Chief among these are the large and elegant loons. Pacific, red-throated, and common loons all spend the winter months along the Oregon coast. Western red-necked and horned grebes favor slightly calmer areas along the coast, such as waters between jetties and estuaries. You should also be able to see thousands of stout sea ducks rafting in ocean breakers or the areas just behind these waves. These hardy birds are scoters and dine on mussels and shellfish. Three species winter along the Oregon coast: surf, white-winged, and black scoters. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.